Okay, so let me read to you some words from the Bible. Romans chapter 12. For some of us, these will be fairly well-known words. For others, maybe not so well-known, but this is what St. Paul wrote. He said, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, 'I will take revenge, I will pay them back,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." So, to misquote Captain James T. Kirk, grace, the final frontier. That's what we're looking at. Well, we're not looking at that. We're looking at amazing grace at the moment. Amazing grace. And, you know, it's quite a mountain to climb, I've got to say, to receive grace from God. To truly believe that he doesn't treat us as we deserve, but that he treats us as we don't deserve. And that works out far better for us. It's kind of hard to believe anybody would really be like that. In fact, he treats his son, Jesus, as we deserve. He treats Jesus as we deserve. He cut him off. He allowed him to be rejected. He allowed him to die so that we don't have to receive that. God gave us and continues to give us his very best, even though we don't merit it, even though we don't deserve it. That's grace. And, you know, it's hard to accept and live in the light of that. But Jesus takes this thing called grace and says the following. He says, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Now, I have to tell you, this is probably the greatest challenge of the Christian life. To live a grace-filled life. Not just a life where we're learning to receive grace, but a life where we're learning to give grace. Where we're learning to grow a grace-filled community. That's what we're thinking about, particularly this morning, growing that grace-filled community. Why do we need to learn that? Well, because we live in a world where we are surrounded by people who are grace deficient. I'm sure we can all agree with that. We're surrounded by plonkers, aren't we? Not here, obviously, but in our other walks of life. They are grace deficient. And if we lived in a perfect world, there would be no need for grace because we would be relating to perfect people. Obviously, they'd be relating to a perfect person as well. And perfect people don't need grace. Just like perfect people don't need a saviour. But we live in a not perfect world, don't we? And we have Jesus' challenge ringing in our ears to, when he says, "I've given you an example to follow, do as I have done to you." Be grace givers to those who, from a natural point of view, we would find very difficult. Especially because there are people around us who really annoy us. Again, not today. Well done, you've picked a great congregation to come to church with this morning. But in the normal course of events, we find ourselves surrounded by people who are just annoying. Everything about them grates, doesn't it? Their attitudes, their sense of humour, or lack thereof. It's like halitosis, isn't it, humour? you're the last person to know, in this case, that you haven't got it. Anyway, oops, move on. So their approach to life, their values. Do you know anybody who rubs you up the wrong way? You can feel yourself beginning to lose it just by being in their vicinity. I would call them, I'm not the first, but I would call them sandpaper people. And the world is full of them, and I bet you know at least one. These are people who rub you up the wrong way. Would it surprise or shock you, crazy though this sounds, would it surprise you to realise that probably someone sees you in that light? I know, crazy, right? Who would see you in that light? They see you as a sandpaper person. I know, what's not to love? So how do you act when you're in the presence of a sandpaper person? Do you go really quiet? You know, how do you handle this? Do you go really quiet? Do you find yourselves getting more and more picky with them, finding more and more fault? Do you find yourself making arguments out of every little thing? Do you find yourself resorting to sarcasm? Yeah. Or just sliding into a full-blown row? I don't even know what this row's about. It just feels like I ought to have one with you. Why don't we discuss this over the lunch table today? Nice little dinner time conversation. Maybe you find yourselves becoming more compliant because you lack the confidence to stand up for yourself and defend yourself. So you just let them ride roughshod over you, and then you hate yourself for it afterwards. Why am I such a doormat? Why don't I stand up and say, you know, it's not on the way you are? Well, the Bible says something that, on the face of it, may not sound like very good news, certainly at first glance. It says this, right, think of the person you find most irritating. Don't all think of me. Go your own way on this. Think of the person that you find the most irritating. Okay, you got that? Oh, really? So quick? Okay, fine. You had that one in the barrel, didn't you? Right, that person. Bear that person in mind, okay? This is your sandpaper person. Here's what the Bible says. Do this. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with that person. Now, you can't make them live at peace with you, obviously, but you live at peace with them. Now, how on earth do you do that? How on earth do you live at peace with people who wind you up? Is that reasonable? I mean, I've known people, and I'm sure you have too, who, humanly speaking, are just not going to change. You can't love them into being a different person. You can't nag them into being you cannot nag people into being a different person. I'll just throw that out there. They are who they are. They're not going to change. And if ever we want to see an improvement in the relationship, it's going to have to be us who make the move and change our approach. Because if we don't respond in a grace-filled way, we're going to be responding in a way that drags us down and imprisons us within negative, destructive feelings. We need to find a way of living free from that, of not allowing sandpaper people to dictate how we react. Now, how do we do that? See, the reality is we might wish that we could change, but the change, or rather we might wish that they could change, but the change needs to start in us. We might have rough edges that need sanding down. crazy thought, stay with me. See, annoying though it is, the starting place for living graciously with sandpaper people is not to get them to change, but to start with ourselves. When we're with sandpaper people, all we tend to be able to see is their rough edges. That's all you can see. But the first step is to ask God to show us our rough edges. Like Jesus once said, he said, "Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." So what might need to change in us? Probably some things that we'd rather not look at, if we're honest. Now, for me, let's all share in my neuroses. For me, I know that one of the things that God has consistently challenged me with over the years is my tendency towards sarcasm. Okay, I've made a start on this. Every Lent, I fast from sarcasm. You have a 40-day window of freedom from my sarcasm every year. But I find myself getting really sarcastic with people, particularly when I'm tired or stressed. Now, I'm not at this moment in time particularly beating myself up about that, but I'm aware that this is one of my rough edges. And if you've been on the receiving end of this particular rough edge, soz. And sorry, I'm so sorry. I apologise. We're not at Lent yet, but I apologise. Now, there are other things as well that that need to be acknowledged and repented of before I have the credibility to start expecting other people to change because they're annoying me. Not that other people don't need to change, but my focus needs, first of all, to be on the changes that need to happen to me. So my prayer needs to shift from, "God, please change them to make them less annoying," to, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, I've just been describing what a sandpaper person looks like, but in a sense, it's a bit of a red herring to look too closely at attributes of a sandpaper person. What we really need to do is look at the attributes of a grace-filled heart. Because a grace-filled heart is more powerful than the coarsest sandpaper. A grace-filled heart wins out over past hurts. A grace-filled heart. Now, that's not something that develops by accident. Proverbs 4:23 says that we should guard our heart above all else, for it determines the course of our lives. So, with the time we've got left, I want us to look at how we should guard our heart. How do you guard your heart? In one sense, it sounds like a bit of a negative thing, doesn't it? Guarding your heart. All these things are seeking to assault our heart, and we have to keep them out. So guarding your heart can be seen as a negative, suspicious thing. Get out. Not allowing you anywhere near me. Not having you getting close to my heart. Mucking my heart up. No way. It sounds kind of negative and suspicious. Actually, what we need to guard is the grace that's growing in our heart. And so that guarding means making sure that there is a grace environment in our heart. In reality, what it means to guard our hearts is that there is a closing of our hearts to certain things, and an opening of our hearts to other things. And the problem that causes many people to struggle in their lives and many communities to just be toxic environments is that we get that the wrong way round. People close their hearts to the wrong things, like whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. They close their hearts to that, and they open their hearts to the negative stuff. Moaning, gossiping, complaining, bitterness. To guard our hearts is to close them to the bad stuff and make sure they're open to the positive, grace-giving, good stuff. We need to be intentional about this. You know, just like your garden doesn't grow really nice flowers by accident, it grows really horrible weeds by accident, by neglect. We need to be intentional about this. Let's make, the Bible says, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Let's do it. Let's respond with grace to sandpaper people. But we will respond to our external environment, to the people around us, with what's in our internal environment, what's in our heart. See, a good person brings good things out of the good stored up in them. And an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in them. So to respond with grace to sandpaper people, bear in mind, this is a practical exercise. Remember that person, not me, that you were thinking about earlier? Keep that person in mind as you go through this. To respond with grace to that person, or indeed to any difficult person, we need to guard our heart. That is to purify our heart and make sure we don't allow anything unclean to lodge there. Now, to do that, we need to make a decision. A decision to keep our hearts pure and to close our hearts to what is impure. So here's the bar. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I'll have nothing to do with them. So this is the closing part of guarding our hearts. We close them, we avoid, we distance ourselves from stuff that is going to do damage to the grace that's already in our hearts and that we're seeking to grow more of. Refuse to look at what is vile and vulgar. I know that cuts out most of the internet, doesn't it? But just narrow it down a bit. Refuse to look at what's vile and vulgar. If you want to have a grace-filled heart, you need to keep the grace killers out of your heart. That's not only the things that are vile and vulgar, that's relationships that pull us away from God. The Bible says don't be in the kind of relationship whereby they'll drag you down and fill your heart with ungodly stuff and damage the grace environment that your heart is supposed to be. Now, does that mean that we can't have friends who have different values to us? We can't have friends who aren't, Christians? Well, of course not. Of course that's not what it means. What it means is that when you're with them, you guard your heart. You make sure that you don't allow anything to lodge in your heart that will damage the growth of grace. So we close our hearts to the influences that are going to damage the growth of grace in us. But we also need to do the other thing. We need to open our hearts. To have a grace-filled heart, we need to maintain an open heart, a heart that's open to receiving godly, positive input. So Paul says to the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth, he says, "Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we've spoken honestly with you and our hearts are open to you. There's no lack of love on our part, but you've withheld your love from us. I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us." Grace-filled hearts are open hearts. Hearts that have not been withdrawn or closed off. Now, when we've been hurt by someone, or when we're around sandpaper people too much, we tend to find ourselves withdrawing, distrusting, closing off. A grace-filled heart is a heart that is prepared to take the risk with people, to not be limited by past hurt, to choose to bless and not to curse. And if we want to grow grace in this church, which we do, the truth is that the key lies not in them changing, but in my heart, in my heart. By the way, I'm speaking for all of us here. Don't just nod your heads and say, "Yeah, if only you changed." No, each of us would say, "In my heart." Creating me a pure heart. He's not saying creating that lot a pure heart. No, creating me a pure heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now that there, that maybe is a prayer that the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray right now, this morning. See, it may be that your heart is not pure right now, but rather it's full of compromise. It may be that it's full of irritation or anger or bitterness right now. And you need to come to God this morning, and maybe the reason you're here is that you need to hear this, that you need to come to God this morning and pray that prayer. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It helps you to take the next step, which is, if they offend you, look beyond the hurt. Yeah, you're going to be hurt. If you're offended, you're going to be hurt. Look beyond the hurt. Ask God to show you something positive in them. Then pray a blessing on them for that. See, the thing about sandpaper people is that we become so aware of the things about them that wind us up that we can't see anything else. That's all there is about them. They wind us up in that way. We have an overriding expectation that they are going to annoy us. And so because we're looking for it, that's what we encounter. We find what we're looking for. How do we break through that so that we can get to a place of finding the positive? Well, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Overlooking doesn't mean ignoring. Overlooking means looking over, looking beyond. Yeah, there's a wrong there, but let's look beyond it. And so you pray in advance. In advance is the operative phrase. Lord, grow your fruit in me, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of self-control, so that I can choose a different response. Help me to overlook, to look beyond all the things that wind me up and help me see the positive. A positive, any positive. Now, the Bible describes that as sensible and what earns you respect. Another way of putting that is that you demonstrate a grace-filled life. Don't hit back, the Bible says. Discover beauty in everyone. That's grace. Discovering beauty. Even if what we see before our eyes is anything other than beautiful. Ask God to show you something positive in that other person. By the way, this is not saying this is your route to becoming bezies. You're not going to become best mates with this person necessarily. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living at peace, not being dragged down, held back, becoming bitter, and so on. So you ask God to show you something positive in that other person. You discover something of beauty. You pray a prayer of blessing on them for that. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be a grace-filled person. Be the one who acts to end the cycle of tension and discord. Discover the blessable thing and bless it. Be careful then that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other, says Paul in the Bible. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. That is grace. It doesn't wait for the other person to change. It takes the initiative. It takes responsibility. It breaks the cycle. But, you know, finding that blessable thing often is not easy or straightforward because it comes wrapped up or concealed in a whole load of sandpaper, unfortunately. It's not gift-wrapped, it's sandpaper-wrapped. And that's why we need to dig beneath the sandpaper to find the real person. To respond in a grace-filled way to anybody, but particularly towards people that seem like sandpaper to us, we need to take the trouble to get beneath the sandpaper. We need to stop judging them long enough to get to know them, just like we'd want for ourselves. We need to look at what God looks at in us and in others. So for me, if I ever got to grips with my sarcasm, I'd like you to give me a second chance on that and not just assume that this is me going to a new level of sarcasm, a hitherto unknown level of that. It'd be great if I got a second chance on that, a fresh start. And that's actually what we ought to be offering everybody else. We need to look at what God looks at in us and in other people. Not the outer appearance, whether that's positive or negative, but at the heart. See, the Lord said one time to Samuel in the Old Testament, don't judge by a person's appearance or their height, for I've rejected that particular person you're looking at. The Lord doesn't see the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People judge by the sandpaper wrapping. But God, because of his grace, looks beneath that to the real person. Which would be a whole lot easier if they weren't so annoying, right? But the thing about grace is that it doesn't wait for the other person to become less annoying or less abrasive. It makes the first move. So don't wait for them to stop being so annoying. Take the initiative. Grace doesn't go to those who deserve it. Grace is about what we don't deserve. Grace is about choosing to take the first step when all you can see is the sandpaper. Don't forget, we've received grace, if you know Jesus personally. So we need to give grace. But unless we're aware of the grace that we've received, we won't be open to taking the initiative with others. See, grace takes the initiative. God took the initiative and sent his Son into the world to seek and to save the lost. He took the initiative with you and with me, and he challenges us to do the same. Never, he says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do what you can and know that it counts with God. even if it seems to have no impact on that other person. It was noticed by God and it counted in heaven. See, the reality of all this is that no matter how gracious we are, we can't change anyone. You can't change anyone. It's beyond us. Life change comes from God, not from us. We're just called to provide the setting for that life change to happen. And you and I, as we respond in a grace-filled way towards that sandpaper person in our lives, we need to have confidence in God to change people. He is in the life-changing business. That's a fundamental belief that we hold here at Kingfisher, and with good reason, because we've seen amazing life change over the years. We're called to create the environment, but it's the Holy Spirit who makes it happen. And when people respond to our best efforts to be gracious with ungrace, with their same old sandpaper ways, just a minute, I'm being gracious to you. What's the matter with you? Shape up. No, when they respond in that same way, that's God's responsibility. Ours is to show grace. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scripture says, I will take revenge, I'll pay them back, says the Lord. Don't do it. Don't get involved in this. Now, I am sure that each one of us knows at least one sandpaper person. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if some of those sandpaper people were right here at Kingfisher, that side of the stage. I wouldn't be at all surprised. This side of heaven, there will always be sandpaper people around, and we are likely to be that person to someone else. We are all of us imperfect, and all of us are in imperfect relationships. And that's why we need grace in abundance. We need to receive it, and we need to give it. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So, who's going to make that first move? Who's going to be that grace-filled person? I'll tell you who that person's going to be. It's going to be the person who is willing to pray the prayer, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Let's start with me. Are you ready to pray that prayer? Are you ready to get the ball rolling? Well, let's pray together, shall we? The band's going to come up. Lord, for each of us who are willing, for each of us who really want to have grace-filled hearts, be in a grace-filled community, experience amazing grace, we pray, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Here I am, Lord. May it start with me. Lord, fill my heart with grace. Help me in that grace-filled way to respond to others. But Lord, this morning, I pray, would you start with me? In Jesus' name, amen.